You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, you animals? It's In This League. Bogman, it's the Welch. I am that Welch. You can call me the if you'd like. You can find me on Twitter at isitthewelch. Scott Bogman, you can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. You should be like, is it the Bogman? That would be a good one.
You should be, is it that Welch?
Is it that Welch? I could be Welch Sports. We'll just mix it all
Welch
up.
Welch Sports. Yeah, there you go.
There we go. What's up?
Screw it, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. In This League, we got a great show for you this week as FNTSY is celebrating Bust Week. I have many thoughts about Bust. I'm a Bust fan outside of the fantasy sports realm as well. We're big fans of Bust.
I'm a tight end guy.
You are a tight end guy. That's true. I like the Bust, and you like those sleeper tight ends for sure. But, you know, hey, to each his own. Sometimes you got to have a little bit of both in your drafting strategy. What we've got going on today, Corey Parson, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, joining us in the next hour, or the next segment, as a matter of fact. We're going to be talking a whole bunch of fantasy football. We have got a little bit of fantasy baseball trade deadline with Benny Ricciardi, also from FNTSY, joining us in the next hour. More football talk, some of your questions as well. You guys can use the hashtag ITLLive if you're listening to us live. Maybe even we'll do a little call-in segment. You can tweet at us if that's something you want to do. We're going to talk about Bus. We're going to talk about a little bit, everything under the sun. I want to even talk about, keep this in your mind, everybody. In the last segment of this hour, I want to set the table for the all-time movie bus, the worst movies of all time. Now, don't give any away, Bogman, because I've got some here. But I do want to set the stage for one thing. I want to set the stage for our poll question here that I want to get out. Pavona is very excited for movie bus. And I got some information, too. So we're going to have a little bit of fun. Any other bus that you guys want to shoot out to us as well? I almost thought about, like, bands, but Bogman hates music. So I'm not really sure how that would go, Bogman. Do you have one?
Yeah, I'm not a music guy. So
no, you're not at
all. Music is a bust to me.
That's true. So
just
the poll question.
In general.
The poll question that I want to put out and I want you guys to answer. It'll be on the FNTSY radio Twitter handle is all-time fantasy football bust. Now, I'm going to lay them out real quick because we're going to be going to break here in a minute. Bogman, here are the four choices. Larry Johnson from 2007 to 2008, where in 2006, I think, he had 1,800 yards. 2007, he had 550 yards. Todd Gurley last year, major bust. Trent Richardson, almost like every single year, but we'll
just
call it
Trent
2000.
Richardson.
Yeah, just Trent Richardson, but 2013. And one of my absolute favorites, Monty Ball from 2014. Remember, we talked about this. There's a magazine that had Monty Ball number one overall.
On the cover and everything.
I can't remember
which magazine, but I remember the magazine in my brain. And I was like, huh, I don't know, Wisconsin running back.
Yeah, they were probably really excited about Maurice Claret. Also, so go find that online.
Never the police.
Yeah, maybe. FNTSY Radio, that's the Twitter handle for the poll. Get out there, vote on it. Larry Johnson, Todd Gurley, Monty Ball, Trent Richardson. Who's the biggest fantasy bust of all time? Go answer that and come right back because Corey Parson is going to be joining us for some fantasy football talk. It's In This League, Bogman and the Welch. We'll be right back.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
It's not what you did, son, that angers me, son.
It's who you did it to.
Who? Nobody?
Nobody.
ITL.
That's right. That nobody is ITL. It's In This League. You can find us online at inthisleague.com. You can check out the ITL Army if you want. You can join in with all the madness that Scott and I have going on. And very excited to enter the madness here is the fantasy exec. It's Corey Parson in the house. Corey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How's everybody doing this afternoon? It was August 2nd, so like this is like the perfect time to start talking fantasy football, even though we've been doing it for like 2 months already. So I think I'm ready to roll right now. No matter what situation you throw at me, I got an answer for you.
All right, well, we're going to throw a couple rights. We're going to throw a couple lefts. This isn't going to be a McGregor, like Mayweather situation. This is going to be a good 12-round battle. I think we're going to do this good. Hey, on the other side, on the first segment, I posed a question here. I'm dying to know what you think. Because we're, you know, I know you've been doing this all week. You've been doing bust week. You're going to continue doing it. It's a cool thing that FNTSY is doing. I don't know if anybody has covered this yet, but I wanted to talk about the biggest fantasy bust of all time. And I put out four guys. I'd love to know your take on it. If you got another one, you can throw it out here. Larry Johnson, 2007, coming off of that insane 2006 season, was garbage. Todd Gurley last year. Trent Richardson in 2013. And Monty Ball in 2014. Corey, who is the all-time biggest fantasy bust?
You know, I remember each situation that you're talking about. Obviously, I was big. I was drafting Trent Richardson at third overall that year. I was like, yo, this guy's son is the man. He's going to get it done. And then, obviously, the Monty Ball, I didn't trust Monty Ball from the jump, so I wasn't a part of that one. But I hate to be like a prisoner to the moment. But Todd Gurley last year,
God.
I mean, come on. That was a different level of disappointment right there. Dude was sitting in the middle of the first round. You were lucky. You felt good if you was able to get him on that back half of the first round. I remember I started a league last year. It was in the NFFC. It was the prime time, so it was a bag on it. I started on Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott. I had Tom Brady on the team. The wide receivers were loaded. Couldn't even make it to the playoffs because Todd Gurley was just such a drain each and every week. This is going to be the week. This is going to be the week. This is going to be the week. By the time you look up, you're sitting with a dud that ruined your fantasy season.
He was the
worst,
man.
We're all still waiting on that 100-yard game.
Yeah, exactly. Todd Gurley is insane. The Monty Ball one, though, like Scott and I were talking because – that's one I would like you, I didn't get in on that one, but there, whatever magazines we saw, they were just spraying Monty Ball's face all over there. Denver Broncos going to roll him out, and it was just like, man, it seems like bad news, and it was bad news. So Todd Gurley is actually the physical one that burned me of all these guys, but Monty Ball just seems like the biggest epic joke because that was it. He had like 500 yards in one season that got people drafting him one overall, and he never did. He didn't do jack crap after that.
Nah, he was. Monty Ball was a joke. I can remember those days when we was doing the show over on SiriusXM. I wasn't in on the cat. I remember, you know what I'm saying, people coming in the studio like, yo, Monty Ball, man, Monty Ball, this, Monty Ball. And I'm like, Monty Ball was trash. I'm not even fooling around with y'all and Monty Ball. So I didn't have to worry about Monty Ball wrecking my season. I saw that one coming. So, and that's what I'm trying to do this year, too. I'm trying to scope a couple of these joints out, look at the situation a little bit in-depth, take a deep dive inside the numbers and stuff like that also. You know what I'm saying? I'm a football fan. I'm a football watcher. I can just go with my gut on some of these calls, too. The numbers may look a certain way for an individual or for a player. All the metrics may add up. But sometimes with a guy like Jordan Howard, I'm just like, F it, it's a sophomore slump.
All right, I dig it. All right, well, you can find him on Twitter, The Fantasy Exec. You can hear him on Roto Experts. Corey, I feel like you're kind of a star over at FNTSY right now. So I'm a little Star Trek. I'm a little verklempt here. But like, what all are you doing here? You're on Roto Experts. I feel like you're on like three or four other shows.
Well, we got the Roto Experts in the morning. You know, we've been doing that. That's the program. I like to call it the most controversial radio show in the industry. That pops off every weekday morning at 7 a.m. We take that to 9, and then we got the Fantasy Football Frenzy with myself, the accuracy expert, Jake Seely, and newcomer, my guy, Matt Medica. So that's every day, 7 to 11. We just pop it off right out the gate. They get the Fantasy Executive working for 4 hours of radio. But then you got the video stuff, the digital stuff, you know what I mean? Obviously, foul territory program. As we transition into the NFL season and games actually get started, it'd be some more Fantasy Executive rolling around enough that you can stomach. But what I'm really excited about right now is the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package, available right now on RotoExperts.com. You know what I mean? So that right there is where I can interact with my people one-on-one and get you ready for the upcoming fantasy football season. And we just sit up there in our little community, you know what I mean, that is growing daily, thank God. You know what I'm saying? We sit up in our little community and we kick it and we get ready to draft it. We're going to do it this year. We're going to win chips.
Well, we got to take care of each other. So, you know, in this league, we don't steer you wrong. So go check out all that Corey's got going on. So I want to hit some busts, but I want to do it maybe a little bit different. Maybe, you know, maybe it's not even really that different. But, like, I don't want to ask you, Corey, who are your busts, because you've been talking a lot about that. What I want to do, and Scott and I decided to put together, is we put together some ADPs, and we're going to give you a couple different guys, and you tell us, is this a bust? Which one is a bust? We're going to just try to flip it up a little bit and see if we can determine some busts just through conversation. The first one I have here, and take it for what it is, because this is the high end of your draft, riskier chance to bust based on ADP. Ezekiel Elliott at 3, and we don't know anything about the suspension, or Le'Veon Bell at 2, when he's kind of talking about maybe holding out. I don't know how much anybody's actually going to believe that, but Bell at 2, Zeke at 3. Who is the bigger risk to bust?
I got to go Zeke, just because you don't know what happens with the suspension. You feel what I'm saying now? Le'Veon Bell is great. He dealt with his own suspension last year. He still came back, put up RB1 numbers. And as he will tell you, he also put up wide receiver number one numbers. And he deserves to be paid as such, as a top running back and a top wide receiver. And you know what? I don't disagree with him. But Ezekiel Elliott, you know what? Listen, Dallas has some pieces missing off. Not missing, but Ron Leary's going. Obviously, Lyle Collins steps in. He's a top player in the NFL. Doug Free, who me as a Cowboys fan, I was like, this guy can go, for all I'm concerned about. But when it comes to run blocking and pass protection, he definitely was a key member of that offense. I think Zeke is good enough to overcome these things. I'm not suggesting that he busts at all, but I do think he's a little bit riskier than Le'Veon Bell, mainly because of the suspension and, you know, the offensive line not being as stout going into the season as it was last year.
Now, Corey, you said earlier you think Jordan Howard is going to have a sophomore slump. He's going off at 14 right now. Do you think that he, like, is Jeremy Langford going to step up? Do you like Tariq Cohen out of that offense? You just think it's just flat out don't mess with the Bears running backs?
Yeah, I just can't do it. I mean, I understand. Listen, he was excellent last season. 7 games over 100 yards. They wasn't even trying to get him the football. That team was bad last year, and he still ran all over Cats, run first offense. Everything in place set up for the kid to do real good. I get it. You look at some of the numbers, some of the metrics, you know, after, you know, with the when he's facing 8-man fronts, which he's going to see a lot of, the yards per carry go down. Obviously, situation is not going to sneak up on anybody no more. It didn't sneak up on people last year. They knew the Chicago Bears were going to be about running the football. I just look at game script when it comes to these running backs, and I'm like, how many times is he going to be killing the clock in the fourth quarter? Probably ever.
Yeah.
So it's a situation where I think that he has a chance to bust. Listen, I'm not saying don't draft him. If you're high on him, you don't think the metrics add up, go ahead, take a stab. If I get him, it's going to be in an auction because I can kind of build around him. But I don't think the year is going to be big enough where I'm going to be like, damn, I missed out on Jordan Howard.
So I think it might be fair to say at 14, Jordan Howard might be bust, right? Are you comfortable saying that?
I would put a bus label on him.
Okay. We got, like, I think 2.5 minutes here, and I'm going to clump some guys together here. And I just want to throw out the rookie running backs. Fournette in the second, Mixon McCaffrey in the third, Cook in the fourth. Does this have as many busts as Baywatch, or are we riding clean with these guys? We got about 2 minutes.
We're riding clean with everything except that McCaffrey in the third. I want McCaffrey in the late fourth, early fifth as an RB2 if you're putting together a balanced attack. That's how I would treat Christian McCaffrey this season right here. I know the dynamic playmaking ability. I love the kid. I think he's a very intriguing talent. But Carolina, new offense, John Stewart still going to be in the mix. I understand it should be a lot of short passing. That's not really Cam Newton's game. Nothing against the kid McCaffrey, but I want to wait on McCaffrey to see what it's going to look like. But if I can protect him as an RB2, get some bench step behind him. In the fifth round, I like it. In the third round, I'm not fooling with it. The rest of them, good money.
I think that's
more about situation than skill for McCaffrey, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, that's fascinating to me because Joe Mixon has been one of those players that he starts to – like Joe Mixon is kind of trending down from, you know, just camp talk. Dalvin Cook seems to be trending up. It's good to have this conversation. You know, that tweet went out today about McCaffrey breaking ankles on Luke Kuechly. But, you know, our guy over there, Nando's guy, Bullock, put out, he's like, well, that's an offensive drill. So, you know, so don't freak out about that. So I think that's a great take. Well, we got more coming up on the other side of this break. We are going to delve more into the sleepers, maybe, or the bus, I mean. We're going to maybe talk about, you know, some who'd you rather pair players up against each other. And we'll look at that poll. I can kind of tell you there's one player currently running away with the results on this poll. Larry Johnson, Todd Gurley, Trent Richardson, Monty Ball. Who is the biggest bust? Probably, you know, some guys that burned you. We'll get those results. More Corey Parson coming up on the other side of this break. It's In This League. Bogman and the Welsh, don't go anywhere.
RotoExperts.com. Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package.
Brand new for 2017, RotoExperts.com presents the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Roll with me through the 2017 season as I get you ready to draft and dominate all season long. It's only going to cost you $20 to win your fantasy league this year. Hell, you spend 10 times that on a Friday night and leave empty-handed. The Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package features articles, videos, and rankings that will help you be the man in your home, office, or high-stakes leagues. Plus, you get private access to the Fantasy Executive Snapchat, where you can interact with me directly. Head on over to rotoexperts.com and sign up for the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Chill with me all season long and win big in 2017 with the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package powered by rotoexperts.com.
We're back. It's In This League. Bogman and the Welsh. We are we're getting into it. Fantasy football. If you're digging the fantasy football, you need more. You can't have enough. Well, Evan TSY has always got your back, but so does ITL. Check out the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast. This week, five straight episodes, all rank. We don't usually do that, but we're masochists to fantasy football. So you want to check that out. Go on iTunes. You can dig in. You can get all the rank episodes. We got a live mock draft where Bogman and I get absolutely bonkers and curse at each other and curse the name of his never firstborn children and the other two that I have. So that's
you
how
we
get
really
down.
Mad this one too.
I was very, very
upset. You're not having a good time.
Nope. So you can check that out on Friday. That'll be the mock draft one. We are joined by the fantasy exec. It's Corey Parson right here on FNTSY, Roto Experts in the Morning, and really all over the place. Make sure you're checking him out. He's got the knowledge that you want dropped on your head. Believe me on that. We have got we've been talking about busts. We kind of were switching it up a little bit in the last segment. So if you missed it, you can go back and listen on demand where we weren't just saying, hey, who's your bust? We were kind of insinuating some scenarios and letting pick. Now, let's move it to kind of like battling each other. This is a who'd you rather. And for some of these, we're even going to put some rounds on it. So I'd be interested in some of the takes. Bogman, why don't you start us off in here with some who'd you rathers?
Well, this Saints running back situation, Corey, everybody is picking a side. We've talked about it before. It's like Team Ingram or Team Peterson. Are you picking a side? Who do you want out of those two guys? Or do you think this running back situation, New Orleans, the whole thing itself could be a bust?
Here's the thing with it. Anybody who's followed me for years will tell you that I do not fool around with old running backs. I haven't drafted Adrian Peterson in about 4 years now. And that was to say that, listen, he's been great. I just missed on him. You know what I'm saying? But I think Cap is toast right now. I'm not fooling with Adrian Peterson. Give me Mark Ingram and his round. I understand, Peterson first and second down, whatever, Sean Payton and Mark Ingram, it seemed like they got this thing where they're not with each other. The bottom line is at this point in his career, Mark Ingram is a better running back. So, listen, the New Orleans Saints is not a place where you go to find your running backs. You want a piece of the passing game in New Orleans. Leave the running backs on the board. If you want to take anybody, if you like the guy, you want Ingram, I don't have no problem with that. Adrian Peterson, no. I don't care if he come out here and run for 3,000 yards this season. I won't have not one single share of Adrian Peterson.
That's one of my favorite things. This is why I like Corey. Corey is he's just part of the ITL breed
punches.
Here. Nah, because you know what? Sometimes like everybody wants like – want to get super nerdy, you know, Bogman. We're like, nerds, you just want, like, tell me every little thing about why this guy isn't good. You know what? Sometimes it just comes down to, like, no thanks. I'd rather go down with the ship than even mess around with it. And sometimes you got to plant your flag. But I ask you that, though. Is there a – can I get you to draft Adrian Peterson? If I say Adrian Peterson in the – let's see, Adrian Peterson or Duke Johnson?
You know what's so funny? I was hoping you didn't say Duke Johnson because I swore Duke Johnson off last year.
I did too.
I'm fooling with this guy. And I'm like, you look back at it and you say, oh, my God, he had 50-something catches. But you can't ever predict those 50-something catches. You're gonna put him in your lineup, Duke Johnson, he's gonna catch two balls for 29 yards. You're gonna put him in your bench, he's gonna catch 10 for 289 and three touchdowns. So I'm like, I wasn't dealing with that. But you know what? I'm like, a $25 league, you know what I'm saying? Maybe a best ball, MFL 10, something like that, Duke Johnson in a double digit round of fine. You know, I can stomach that. I'm always going to like somebody on the board more than I like Adrian Peterson. Probably except for Paul Perkins. So that's it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, except for Paul Perkins. I like that. That's amazing. You know what I like about that, too? That should be like a fantasy nickname. Like, Duke Johnson hates you. That's it. Like, he hate me. He hates you. That's who Duke Johnson is. Yeah. I like that. All right, let's throw this one out here. I'm a 49er fan, though I'm not a fan of my team right now. It's a disaster. And fantasy, it's no different. It's really not a pretty situation. The Carlos Hyde news situation issue, well, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter to me. It's a train wreck. Carlos Hyde right now going in that fourth round area. One day he's going to get cut. Next day he's the clear cut starter in San Francisco. But when camp opened up, Tim Hightower was getting first team reps. So I want to ask you here: you have to pick one of these guys. You talk to me about it. Carlos Hyde in the fourth or Tim Hightower in the 15th? And this is based off their Fantasy Pros ADP for PPR right now.
It's just things, so just like Carlos Hyde and Kyle Shanahan are kind of like me and my ex. You know what I'm saying? One day it's like, baby, I miss you. You know what I'm saying? The next day it's like, how dare you? You ruined my life. And I'm like, what are you doing? What now? You feel what I'm saying? Like, that thing in San Francisco is crazy to me right now. Like you said, every time it's a news story, they either hate him or they love him. One day he shows up to camp looking disgusted. He got to get it together. The next day, oh, you know what? Carlos Hyde. You know what I'm saying? He's the thing again. We like him. He's picking up the offense. And I'm like, no. Mm-mm. Tim Hightower in the 13th all day, twice on Sundays. I have Tim Hightower on just about every single fantasy team that I have right now. I started doing that back in February. And I'm like, oh, this Hightower. Hightower can play. He can flat out play. And the fact that they brought him in there, I'm not tripping off the kid, Joe Williams. Is he going to get a shot? Yeah, he probably will at some point throughout the course of the season. But Tim Hightower and Carlos Hyde are going to be in a timeshare. And I wouldn't be surprised if Tim Hightower was on the plus side of it.
Okay, so I'm going to test the limits here. Carlos Hyde in the fourth or Adrian Peterson in the ninth?
Carlos Hyde in the fourth is bad. Carlos Hyde in the fourth is bad.
It's not good.
Fourth, I can get if I want a fourth round running back, I'm taking Dalvin Cook. But to keep my thing with Adrian Peterson going, Carlos Hyde in the fourth.
That was a heel turn there. I thought it was going the other way. Okay, I can't get Corey. All right, what do we got next, Boggs?
He avoids those old running backs like the plague. How about we have two young running backs here? Ty Montgomery is going around the fourth, but his backup, Jamal Williams, who got some first team reps today, is going in the 10th. Is Ty Montgomery a guy you're trusting or no?
This is a tough call, right? This is another situation where I like to say this is not, like, give me the pass catches in Green Bay. The running back thing is too much of a headache for me. But if I want to dip my toes in the water in this situation, I think Montgomery is being a little bit underrated as what he can do in this offense. With me and Ty Montgomery, is more about roster construction. If I come out, right, and I'm in the middle of the draft, and I don't like the running back there in the second, let's say I start with Mike Evans, and I'm coming over in the second, and I'm staring at, you know, Jay Ajayi, pass. I take a wide receiver. And I come back in the third, and my man Isaiah Crowell is not there. Okay, bet. I'll take Devontae Adams. And then I come back in the fourth, and Montgomery's sitting there as a possible RB1 on the PPR team. Like it much better in the fifth for Ty Montgomery. That's kind of how I would like to construct the team. Jamal Williams a little bit further down. Yeah, I can do that. I can play that stash and cash game with Jamal Williams. But right now, I would say I don't like Montgomery in the fourth, so I would take Williams in the tenth. But if I can get Montgomery in the fifth, I like that better.
And I think that's a really interesting one, too, with Jamal. I mean, yeah, they're talking about, you know, just setting those roles. You know, you got power back. You got your receiving back. Jamal Williams, I mean, we're talking, we're also finding values here. That's a big thing. You know, we're busting on some of these high-end drafting running backs that aren't the lockdown guys, the first round. You know, we're saying,
you
hey.
You know what?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was telling cats on the road to West versus the other day, this the other morning, take Bilal Powell before you take Ty Montgomery. Anytime you're about to hit select on Ty Montgomery, take Bilal Powell instead.
Yeah, Powell's my guy.
Are
Powell's
there any running backs you like?
Like David Johnson. We like David Johnson.
Are there any running backs you like, Corey? It sounds like you're down on a lot of them.
I like Crowell a lot. I probably have a lot of shares of Crowell this year. Kind of my guy. I'm riding with him. I'll big three at the top. Devonta Freeman, Melvin Gordon. Also, you know, some of the top guys. But, you know, when you want to go down the board a little bit, I'm in on Cook. I'm in on Powell. I'm in on, I like I said, Tim Hightower. I like Devontae Booker late. Jaquizz Rodgers is excellent, especially if you're going to be an Ezekiel Elliott owner, not knowing what that suspension is going to be. Take Jaquizz Rodgers because you know he has 3 weeks of the job. Those are like some of the kind of the running backs that I'm talking to. The kid in Kansas City, Kareem Hunt, if he pops, he could be, you know, a guy that could flirt around with top 15 running back numbers if he do what we think he's going to do in Andy Reid's system. Very running back friendly when it comes to fantasy purposes. So those are some of the guys in the rounds that I like. And, you know, Hightower and Booker late. Even with Booker dealing with this injury, still take him, because if he's back week one, he's going to be an interesting guy to watch. And then Jaquizz Rodgers is now in that double-digit round lane. Scoop him up. And then, you know, some of the guys in the middle are like Bilal Powell, Dalvin Cook, and, you know, and some of those names like that.
I like that. Hey, we got like 2 minutes. I want to get this last one in real quick and then just promo you out here. Make sure we do it. Is two guys that are kind of in the same round, fifth round area, Tyreek Hill, Julian Edelman. What do you think, Julian Edelman, Tyreek Hill? What do you like about that?
You know what? Roster construction, depending on what you need. In the PPR, if you need catches, I'm not the biggest Julian Edelman fan. I'm big on Brandon Cooks. Not the biggest Edelman fan, but in the PPR, if you need catches as a wide receiver three, maybe even that fourth wide receiver, maybe you started off, you know, with some running backs that you don't know what their pass catching ability is going to be, go ahead and scoop up Edelman. He'll get you 80 of those. If you have a team that's loaded with pass catches, maybe you're going zero RB, you're looking for a flex option, then take Tyreek Hill, has that big play upside. Everybody's going to say, well, he doesn't play the football, he's not going to have a whole bunch of 60, 75, 80-yard touchdowns. I get it, but you cannot ignore the talent or the production.
I like it. All right, he's the Fantasy Exec. Find him on Twitter, at the Fantasy Exec. You can hear him over on Roto Experts in the Morning. And go check it out. You can find it on his Twitter, and you can find it over at FantasySportsNetwork.com. The 2017 Fantasy Executive Edge. Go do it. Get that edge. Win your leagues. Corey, we appreciate you, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Hey.
Please do it again. I want to talk with you some more.
No doubt. Holler at me. I'm always here for you guys. Have a good time. And you know what I'm saying? We're going to win chips in 2017. Executive Edge. It's going to be free for 24 hours tomorrow to celebrate kickoff for the 2017 season. So hit me up at the Fantasy Executive on Twitter around 7 a.m. Go in there and look around, but do not take any.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Hi, I'm Austin Hedges, and you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember when Larry Johnson was good? Remember Trent Richardson, Bogman? Remember Todd Gurley?
Remember Arian Foster? Remember Steve Slayton?
Steve Slayton. Remember when Slayton was going to be the best thing on the planet for the Texans?
I remember I drafted him, and the next day he had knee surgery.
I remember that. Was it like a keeper league? You're like, oh, I'm taking him.
I took him in the second round. It wasn't a keeper league, but I took him in the second round, and he just ruined my whole season. It's so bad.
I don't know. I mean, it's funny in hindsight. There is nothing better.
Yeah, it's hilarious to you.
It's really, really. I mean, I got burned by AP, I think, like 2 different years. I had AP both times. You know, once he was suspended, the injury and all that. So it happens. We all get burned by these guys. That's what's so hilarious about it. Update on the poll, by the way. FNTSY Radio. Make sure you are following it. And if you're not and you have some prejudice against following FNTSY Radio, well, guess what? Just follow us. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? We retweeted it out. The question was, who's your all-time fantasy bust? Obviously, we're talking about fantasy football and hashtag bust week. The choices were Larry Johnson from 07 to 08, Todd Gurley in 2016, Trent Richardson in 2013, and Monty Ball in 2014. Bogman, the very lowest one. And I have a feeling this might kind of like expose some people to see how many people haven't played fantasy football. Larry Johnson has the lowest total. I know it was 10 years ago, but I mean, you and I have been playing fantasy for a long time, and he's only has 10% of this vote.
Yeah, he was a big, huge bust too. I mean, he was a steaming pile. So I think the people are right with Trent Richardson, just because, and it might be, you know, you can go on and find Trent Richardson gifts of him running into offensive linemen. And that's like your basic go-to. It's like, well, is he going to be Trent Richardson? But I think people are sleeping on just how horrible Larry Johnson was.
Well, spoiler alert, Trent Richardson is the leader of the pack here. Larry Johnson now at 9%. Trent Richardson is the number one vote getter with 49% of the biggest bust of all time. Monty Ball has 19%. That was my vote. And Todd Gurley, who Corey Parson had from 2016, has 23%. Who did you vote for?
Richardson.
Oh, okay. You were Richardson.
I think I was big on Richardson. If Steve Slayton was up here, I would have voted on Steve Slayton.
That's oh, man. Sure. What a great call. What a great call in Steve Slayton. How about, wasn't it Rudy Johnson? Remember Rudy Johnson? Remember Rudy Johnson?
Rudy Johnson was like, he was drafted as a fullback and then just by all the injuries in the Bengals backfield became the guy. And,
that was
to be expected, at least.
That's true. James Bolin on Twitter, James_Bolin, he says, anyone remember Vince Young or Matt Leinart? Talk about trash bust. I was actually...
Not for fantasy, though. I mean, they were,
they were bust, though. Vince Young.
Vince Young was also Rookie of the Year. So
yeah, you're going to defend your UT. Yeah, don't listen to Bogman's takes on Vince.
National championship. No big deal.
I actually want in here just a minute... I want to talk about the biggest movie bust of all time. But, Bogman, you put something really interesting together. And, by the way, anytime, hashtag ITL Live is where you can tweet at us. Next hour, I doubt we do it this segment, but 844-84-FNTSY, you could call in. You could take a question. We're talking about busts and all that. But we're going to cover all this in this hour. Benny Ricciardi is joining us in the next hour. Bogman, you put together 4 different versions of busts, and we're not talking about cup size when we talk about it. You have 4 different variances of what busts are. So why don't you burn through some of that real quick?
Well, the ones I have are injury, which is impossible to predict, but the best indicator of future injury is past injury. Performance, which is just flat out getting beat and having your job taken away, your team being really bad, which is what we saw with Todd Gurley last year, and old guys like Corey Parson just told us. He's not going to take old running backs at all. So these are really like the 4 things that, you know, make a bust become a bust. And I have a couple examples for each of them. For the injury one,
With injury real quick. Real quick, before that. The injury one is the one I have the most problem with, because I'm not trying to be super defender of, you know, injury prone players or anything like that, though I tend to be. It's just, as much as, you know, touchdowns are non-predictors and, you know, there are some factors that I just don't think injuries are necessarily factors that have to go in 100%, because people shun off a player because of injuries. And I don't agree with that.
Let me ask you how many Jamal Charles shares you're going to have.
I might have a couple. His cost is dirt cheap. It is dirt ass cheap. Why would I not?
But why is it dirt cheap? Is it because it, I mean, you can say age, but listen, it's also listen, because of injury.
I get it. I'm the Arian Foster guy. You're the Jamal Charles guy. We messed up. Remember that? I wish I could not remember that. I was trying
to avoid that.
Yeah, I get it.
But,
okay. All right,
and there are some people who flat out say that you just can't predict injury, period. But you kind of can, and it's not – it is impossible to predict. You're not going to be able to say, oh, this guy's going to go down. But the best indicator of future injury is past injury, and there's a couple guys that are already hurt. Jay Ajayi has already had a concussion this year. Andrew Luck might start the year on the PUP. And this batch of wide receivers that I've looked at, Sammy, Alshon, and Decker – you know, Decker only played 2 games last year. Gronk is constantly hurt every year. Amir Abdullah hasn't got on the field for more than like 5 or 6 games. And Keenan Allen, 8 games 1 year, 1 game last year. Like, Tyler Eifert is always hurt. Like, there are guys that kind of fit this mold. I'm not going to sit here. I mean, it's the NFL. Any dude could get hurt on any play. Yeah. So
no, I'll buy it. There are some guys that have... Yeah, the Jordan Reed, yeah. Gronk, Eifert thing, like, okay, yeah. Keenan Allen, if it happens one more time, you know, we're the George Bush, you know, fool me once, shame on, can't get fooled again. Like that, I get it. I totally understand that. All right, talk about performance then, because that's the biggest one. And that is the one that everyone is going to jump on when you're talking about actual buses. It's more about performance. Maybe even mold team into it too, because you separated those two, but they're kind of one and the same.
They can be, like Jeremy Langford getting beat out by Jordan Howard last year. That was a big one. I was a big Langford guy, and then here comes Howard, who I also liked at Indiana, but I didn't expect him to have the year he had. And we've had a couple of these kind of in the waves already. We've had, you know, Robert Kelly and Samaje Perine. Carlos Hyde, you mentioned last time, with Tim Hightower and Joe Williams. Ty Montgomery had a couple backs drafted behind him. There's talented players in Green Bay with Devontae Adams. Corey Coleman hasn't put it together. Someone's going to get beat out in Tennessee between Davis, Decker, and Rishard Matthews. So those kind of coincide, man. It's those guys could all get beat out, and a couple of these guys are going really high. I think it's almost some people have already said, oh, well, Samaje Perine's the guy. Like I've seen many leagues where Perine goes ahead of Robert Kelly.
Yeah, no, I buy that one. I see that one. All right, you talk about age, and then I'm going to throw a fifth category out to you for bust. But the first person you have on this list is not a good indicator of age equaling bust, because Tom Brady is nothing but that. But I know what you're saying.
Well, this is the least factor to me. The age is like I'll take a guy up, and you know, I bought Larry Johnson the year that he was bad, so age doesn't really do it to me, but. The quarterbacks, we have old quarterbacks, but they're all pretty good. Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Rivers, Palmer, all very old. They're all like our age. The Welsh are older. So they're
old. Sad. It's sad.
Running backs, we've got Lynch, Gore, Woodhead. Woodhead's also coming off surgery, so he's had past injury. I mean, and people are hyping him up. Forte is old.
Blunt. That's
blasphemous. I'm just saying. Stewart, Darren Sproles, and then a couple wide receivers and tight ends. We've had Jordy, Fitzgerald, Marshall, Garcon. Like, these are some of my favorite guys. And tight ends, Walker, Witten, Gates, Barnage.
All right, let me throw a fifth category out for you. That's Sticky Icky. That weed club. Josh Gordon and Justin Blackman. That is courtesy of Zachariah Riera at @0_FG. He says, different kind of bust. Who's a bigger one, Josh Gordon or Justin Blackman? That is... easily Josh Gordon. Justin Gordon is dead to me.
At least Josh Gordon got on the field.
Dead
Justin
to me.
Blackman couldn't even get on the field.
I guess that's it. But okay, here's the difference for me then. I wasn't drafting Justin Blackman. I drafted Josh Gordon last year everywhere. Like, I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot for ever believing
that
stuff.
Right.
It's, I mean, yeah, that's cool. I get it.
Yeah, I have Martavis Bryant, Le'Veon Bell are on that list too.
Yeah, I know
a lot about the Sticky Icky. Absolutely. You
know, actually, maybe the all Sticky Bus team looks a whole lot better than the all any of these other ones. You know what I mean?
Did you just say the all Sticky Bus team? What are we talking
phrasing.
About here, friend?
Phrasing. Let's go. All right. Okay. So those are some of the different ones. If you guys have a different one or some of your own takes on it, let's see. Sorry.
Who's your favorite Sticky Bust?
There's a website for it, and it's not YouTube. I can guarantee you that. So those are some of the busts. If you got some of your other takes, I want to hear it. #BustWeek, #ITL Live. Put at us And, you know, I'd love to hear who you guys, some of your biggest busts are. Make sure that you're going in the poll. I'm going to phrase this. I'm going to put this out here right now because we've got only a minute here before we go to break. Biggest bust movie of all time. I don't know if this deserves a poll. I'll let Pavono decide that. I want to know your takes. If you got other ones, that's fine. Here are the options. Waterworld cost $170 million. It made $80 million, and I kind of liked it, okay? 47 Ronin.
Me too.
Yeah, 47 Ronin with Keanu Reeves, your favorite actor, Bogman. $225 million budget. It lost $150 million. Green Lantern? That was just awful. It had a $200 million budget, lost $90 million. The fourth one, I'd love to hear if people have seen this, Battlefield Earth, the one with John Travolta and whoever the guy, I can't think of the guy's name who's in every damn movie. Forrest Whitaker. Cost $73 million, only made $40 million. It's not the biggest financial bust, but I can tell you it is probably by far the worst movie here. So biggest bust movies of all time. Hit us up. We'll take any bust. All your busts are welcome here. Always at
I've never
league.
Heard of 47 Ronin. Never.
Yeah, well, it's Keanu Reeves, so you haven't. So Bogman the Welsh.
Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Dun, dun, dun. In this league. Is this what, did I get it right?
Because I got high, so I listened to In This League.
I was going to play wide receiver in the NFL, but then I got high.
Gonna play wide receiver, went to rehab. I was on a mission.
The NFL won't let me in, and I don't know why.
Oh, that's funny. That is actually really funny.
Because
all right.
I got high.
Lots of stuff. Corey Parson joined us. We've been talking fantasy football bust. If you missed any of it, go back and listen on demand. We like to have fun here. And I don't think if we're going to spend a whole show talking about bust, it should just be simply fantasy football. We should go to movies. And it's funny how when I thought about this, I actually started this off in our show sheet by writing songs. And then I thought, you know what's so amazing is how beloved bust music groups are. Like, someone that has a one-hit wonder, I mean, that's what they call it. A one-hit wonder is, like, beloved forever, and they could just go on forever because they have that one stupid song, and Apple will put it in one of their stupid commercials or something. Like, they're beloved forever. Movies, it is not the case. I mean, there are cult... Snow, Informer, yeah, that there you go. That's a perfect one, Pavona. Informer, yeah, that's a great one by Snow, a good Canadian rapper, I think, if I remember. But it's a completely different world between movies and music. I mean, we need to figure out some other areas. But biggest bust movies, Waterworld, 47 Ronin, Green Lantern, Battlefield Earth. Bogman, who did you vote for here?
I voted for Battlefield Earth because I've never seen it. I used to work in a grocery store. And I just remember them like trying to give me copies of it afterwards. So, like, do you want this? And I was like, no. Do you want this poster? No, I don't want the poster either. They're like, come on, how can you not like this? I'm like, I guess I don't have the right key card. I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't take the right test for the Scientology people. I just don't understand. This is the worst movie. The worst movie on this list. Waterworld, 47 Ronin, Green Lantern, Battlefield Earth. It is hands down Battlefield Earth. It's not even close. Waterworld was the beginning of the quote-unquote bust movies because it cost like $170 million to make. They only made $80 back, but it kind of built this like cult following. I love that movie, by the way, and so does Bogdan.
I like it too. What's your favorite part in Waterworld?
I don't know.
I like it when they drop the flare down into the guy who's like, we have 4 inches left of sticky stuff. And when he sees the flare, he goes, oh, thank God.
Yeah, or Pavona
like he's
said.
So ready for it to be over.
Dry land is not a myth. I've seen it. But I voted for Green Lantern because what a garbage pile that was. Pavona, come on here real quick. I know we only got like 2 minutes.
Yellow.
Which one did you vote for, and is there one that belongs like more on this list?
There is no doubt in my mind the biggest bust out of all these is Green Lantern. For the sheer fact that Waterworld, it did build up a cult. It became a cult classic. Battlefield Earth, I have a bias for it because when that movie came out in my sophomore year, and I had a girlfriend, and like we went to go see the movie, but we didn't really watch it. You can use your imagination. So I don't dislike Battlefield
Speaking of
Earth.
Bus.
Actually, yes.
Okay.
Other than that, okay, Green Lantern was just awful, especially for the beginning of just all the big time superhero movies. It was just horrible.
How do you ruin a movie with Ryan Reynolds in it?
Yeah. No, you got to do some really big work to ruin a Ryan Reynolds movie. You want to know what the best part of Green Lantern was? I will tell you what it is, and it will blow your mind. The best part of Green Lantern was that they could use it in Deadpool to make a hilarious joke to not have the suit be green. That's the best part of the entire movie. It is garbage. It's trash. It cost $200 million to make. 47 Ronin, I mean, I like Keanu Reeves. Bogman doesn't. Was more entertaining than that. If you guys got your takes, hit us up. Is it the Wells Bogman Sports? FNTSY Radio. Tweet at us. Biggest bus movies or bus anything. Don't go anywhere. Hour two, we're going to talk MLB trade deadline football. Benny Ricciardi's coming up. And so your questions, it's in this league. Don't go anywhere.